is going on, D-Gen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the CJ Cup. As usual, I'm here with my partner in crime, Tyler Tambolini. Tyler, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Kenny. Always a good Monday. I should say Tuesday this week, actually. That tells you how bad it is when I'm on here with you, but I'm excited to get back into it. We'll go right through it. Want to remind everyone before we get started, this podcast is brought to you and presented by DraftKings. DraftKings will have an offer for you later on, a really good one again this week. I talk about it every week, but this is a really good one. And then on top of that, Fantasy National, fantasynational.com/FGD. Head on over to the site, get yourself 20% off your first payment. That's the stats we're using. We're getting everything from there as we go through the podcast and show. Kenny, the last time Sungjae won, I was there with you. We were yelling, well, you were yelling things at him that I still forget to this day. But tell us one more time what you say, and then talk to us about his second W.
Hanguk Fighting. It just means let's go Korea, basically, is what that means. Yes. Yeah, good for Sungjae. I think it was his 100th start he got his win this week. It was his 50th start that he got his Honda win. So 150 probably is the next time he'll win, which, you know, could be the 2023 Masters, maybe. Yeah, you know, it could be somewhere around there. Just trying to delve that. A good win by him. I mean, just basically what happened is he got close, and then the first four holes of the back nine, birdied the first four, and it was over. It was done with. Now, I had a bunch of Sungjae. So I remember last week I almost talked myself out of Sungjae in the pod, and in the previous week I almost talked myself into somebody else, and I switched that. And I switched this again because I talked myself back into Sungjae on Wednesday when I made my lineup. So that was helpful. But I actually had a lineup that was third in the $5 drive to green Saturday night going into Sunday. It didn't have Sungjae in it. I think it was Wolf, Burns, Hadwin, Harry Hall, Decky, and Adam Scott. That was the lineup, and then Burns falling off. And the dad dream, finished in like 31st place. And then, of course, I had another runner-up in the betting. I had Matthew Wolf on the betting card. So that's 12 runner-ups and 6 winners and 2 third places on my betting card in the last 50 events. So 40% of the time, I had a guy in the top 3, which is great if we were doing each way, which I didn't. But the crappy thing is I've only done 6 winners, so 12% win percentage in the last 50, which is not great. And if you guys notice, I said crappy. So a buddy of mine has been listening to the podcast, and he says I swear too much. So I'm going to try and stop fucking swearing so fucking much all the fucking time. And so we're going to try that out this fucking week for right now. So we'll see how it goes. With the less curse words, I guess, from now on after that little outburst. You know, I had to do that a little bit. So we'll see how this goes. It could be weird, but I'm going to try. So if after that outburst, you know, if you're listening with your kids, I apologize. You should never listen to this podcast with your kids or your wife or your girlfriend or your mother ever. I will try. And be more kid-friendly from now on, at least when it comes to swearing. I don't know about the strippers and stuff. Those stories are still going to happen. But the swearing stuff, I will try to avoid. Other things, I mean, it was a good event. I mean, like, you know, it was fun to watch, especially, you know, when you have a sweat on it. Of course, it's always going to be a little bit better. But, you know, Matthew Wolf played well. And then Sabatini and Leash just had amazing Sundays. Hadwin, one of my cash game cornerstones. My cash game cornerstones went 3 for 4 again this week. So 3 weeks of cash game cornerstones in the new season, 3 of 4 each time. The crazy thing is 2 of my missed cuts were in the 10K range. So Kevin Na the first week and Abe Answer this past week. So it's a little frustrating. You know, you would think that the 10K guys more likely to make the cut, especially those two events that I had. You know, both those guys seemed like great plays. Didn't work out, but I mean, that's DFS golf. How did you do, Tamlin?
Yeah, the best part was last week. I had to go back and remember because I thought you had Wolf. I couldn't remember, so I went back and listened. And your words when it came to the bets were no Koreans. Nope, no Koreans. Canada's going to take us to the promised land with Adam Hadwin. And he almost did his thing. T6 there. I know our guy Sundog was on him. That was a guy we liked last week, and he did his thing. But definitely nice to see Sungjae get back into the winner's circle. I don't think it's going to take 50 more starts. I just think this guy's too good. Everybody talks about him, and you know, all the pros and tour players that have talked about him in the past just said the swing, the entire game, everything. It's just something else. It's ridiculous how good he is. He showed it again, certainly on Sunday. It wasn't even close. Didn't make it boring by any means. It just kind of ended it early. But I was happy to see Wolf back in the mix. I wasn't on him. I didn't have anything with him as far as sweat equity or anything. I just like to see that. You know, the guy had talked in the past about some of the mental stuff he was going through, getting back to full stage and being able to be out there. He's frustrated with himself, I'm sure, but nothing to be ashamed of there. A second place. Thought the Hayden Buckley story was pretty cool. Back-to-back weeks, Monday Q Info talked about it, how, you know, like just from going from a Korn Ferry Tour alternate to back-to-back top 10s on the PGA Tour for big money. That's how quick your life changes in the matter of just two events. Just like that, you get playing some good golf, get hot, and here you are. And you're picking up points, right? We talk about it all the time in the FedEx Cup where you see these guys just show up later on. You say, how the hell, who is this guy? Or how did they even get into this thing? And so they pick up the points now while they're there. So not much else for me on that event to talk about. I think a lot of it will carry over into this event. I know it's totally different. We've only got 78 guys, much stronger field, et cetera, but I think a lot of the names we'll see, and it'll be interesting when we get into the DFS tiers for this week, where people just go to, oh, that guy did so well last week, let's play him again this week. There is some similarities, but we are on a new course. Of course, last year we were at Shadow with Kokrak picking up his W. So a lot to talk about here, Kenny, for this week. Anything else that you want to talk about when it comes to the Shriners?
Yeah, when it comes to these type of birdie fests, though, you can, you know, I think it sort of evens the playing field just a little bit. I mean, this week might be a little bit different just because of how strong the upper tier is of the field. I do expect one of those guys to be up there, but I would not be shocked to see some people in the lower end and to finish in the top 10. I mean, if you look at the placements from last week, you know, you have Shank, Sabs, Leishman, Hadwin, Lanto, Buckley, Aaron Wise, Harry Hall. I did have Harry Hall in my lineup. I don't know if I said that, but, you know, all in the top 10, Putnam, 11th, Laird, you know, K.H. Lee, Naismith, Hoagie, Chad Ramey, Matt Wallace has been playing horribly, all in that top 15. And you know, and guys like Scheffler, Answer, Webb, you know, just to name a few. Brooks didn't have a great week. You know, Woosty didn't have a great week. You know, I think these supreme birdie fests can sometimes even the playing field, because, you know, these guys, even though, you know, we think of the talent level between the top 10 and, you know, the 100th ranked golfer is so high, when it comes to these type of courses, I think it just shrinks that just a little bit. And we'll see it this week. And I do like a lot of some of these cheaper plays down below to make a run. So we'll see how that goes. Should we move on?
Oh, I was going to, yeah, if we got nothing else, as you talked earlier about the three S's, the swearing, the stories, and the strippers, the things you tie together so nicely on the show. But if you don't have any of those, we've already had the swearing tangent, the mention of strippers, and no story. So I just wasn't sure if you had anything put together for this one, or else moving on to this week.
Yeah, and get right, you know, into it. It's tough having, and you know, I a lot of my stories that I have, really, I can't say them on anything public, you know, that people will listen to. I could get arrested. You know, people, my future bosses can hear. Most of them are, you know, when this just wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. So I have a ton more stories. I got to try and find the ones that I can remember. And again, another problem being 41 years old and drinking all the time. And now, you know, with marijuana legal in Virginia, crushing edibles whenever I can, you know, the brain cells tend to die and die quicker. So I'm trying to remember more stories where that I can actually tell on the podcast. But they're now, after 6 years of this, it's become few and far between. And the thing is, I don't go out that much anymore. I've become such a little bit of a homebody now with this new job that's been kicking my butt. I said butt, I didn't even say the A-S-S word. You know, and so it's been kicking my butt big time, especially these past couple of weeks. So nothing, I barely go out anymore. I don't have these crazy stories, vacation stories.
We'll save them for the regular season. We've always got the Chronicles of Kenny Kim to get into, and there'll be some stories coming up, I'm sure. So that's what we have to look forward to. But talk to us about this course. We do have a new one here on tap. You know, excited. We all know, I can't remember if I heard this anywhere or not, but I believe it's Morikawa's home course, but you can let me know, and I know other guys too, but just talk to me about the course.
So, you know, it's about a 7,400 summit. You got to say it like that because it's always in cap letters. So the Summit Golf Course is a 7,450 yard par 72, four par fives, four par threes. The course placed closer to 7,200 or below, just because of the elevation. It's about 2,000 feet altitude. Three of the par fives are going to be reachable by the majority of golfers, even the 617 yard par five, six hole. A lot of guys will probably be able to reach that as well. Again, it depends on the wind and stuff. But with that altitude, it carries the ball a little bit farther out there, 10% maybe even at some point in time. So you can see a lot of these par fives are going to be reachable. Par three is also pretty much on the short side. There's one long one. It's about 236 yards. And there's one that's 138. The other ones are average, like 180, 195, somewhere in there. And again, this is a new course. I don't know if I went over that in the beginning, but new course, Tom Fazio design, you know, so we're going based on what I've read and what I've seen on like flyovers and drone shots and stuff like that. So we don't know exactly how the course is going to be played, but we have a little bit of an idea. You know, the par fours look real fun. Actually, I count at maybe three drivable par threes. It depends on where they put the tee box. I know the first hole's 377 yards on the card, but it's downhill in altitude. I think, you know, the par threes from 350 to 400, or par fours from 350 to 400 yards, I think that's something that you might want to look at, because I think these three holes are the first, the fifth, and the 12th. If they do play drivable and they are short, if you par those holes, you're going to lose strokes to the field, in my opinion. Looking at this event, again, it could change with the wind and stuff like that. So I think those are going to be very, very important holes. You know, you count those plus the par fives, I mean, that's seven under, which you should be, you know what I'm saying? So already this course is having the likeness of Caves Valley, which we saw at the BMW Championship, which is another Tom Fazio design. Now, you know, the other par fours, you know, three are around 435 yards, three are around 480, and one's over 500. So really, I mean, there's only like five long holes on this course. And of course, that's long with quotes because of the altitude. So, I mean, even though you see 7,450 yards on this scorecard, I think it's going to play really, really short for these pros. You know, so this sort of leads me to believe that Bombers could succeed here, very well, just driving it out there and having a 100-yard wedge in there every hole. It could be possible. Now, you know, the shorter guys will have, you know, a pitching wedge instead of a sand wedge. So either way, I mean, you're going to get a lot of birdies from a lot of different types of golfers. I do give the Bombers a little bit of an edge, I would think, but we'll see how that goes as the week progresses. You know, and then off the tee, of course, another reason why it should favor him is because it's pretty wide. Really, really generous fairways. From what I've read, you're looking at 3-inch Bermuda rough, but I don't think it's going to be that crazy. Also, there's some desert vegetation. There's water on seven holes. Fairway bunkers, of course, that you'll see. And so on approach shots, you're going to see large greens too. So, you know, golfers are going to have to play a little bit of target golf depending on where the hole actually is, because the greens are pretty sloped and contoured. If you do miss the greens, there's going to be large, huge bunkers that you're going to see. A couple holes with water. I know one of the long par threes, I think, has water on the right with a big slope that goes, if you miss right, you know, bounces and just trundle into the water. So not your typical desert course. You know, they call it the desert parkland course. But, you know, you're still going to see those desert things, but there's still going to be some water on the hole too. So, you know, the greens are bent. They're going to be a stint meter rating of around 12.5. You know, with the description that I just laid out, I mean, you know, the winner of BMW was 27 under par. I think if the weather doesn't blow and they don't do like crazy, crazy pin locations, we could see something similar, I think, this week. Tambo, what are you looking for in golfers?
First off, I really like the look of the course. So everything you just said, I'm excited to just watch for that reason. We definitely have the strongest field that we'll see this entire swing season, I think, and just the size of the field and everybody that we've got involved within it. So I'm excited for this week. Looking at some scoring stuff, you just talked about it. Even Morikawa was quoted today. Obviously, he's a lot. The joke earlier, how everyone knows it's his home course, and it's been mentioned by pretty much everybody out there. Puts him a little more in the limelight this week. I know McNealy, I believe, is also a member here, but just in the conversations, you know, Morikawa is just involved heavily and talked about there's definitely going to be birdies out there this week. It doesn't even really matter if the wind picks up. That will matter some for the scoring. Maybe we don't see 25 or what you mentioned, maybe a 27, but you could still see 18 to 20, no problem. And that's plenty of scoring out there along the way. I like the Caves Valley, not just because of Fazio, but just because that's kind of how it shook out. And so I do think that's one thing to bring up, but approach, birdies are better. You talked about some of the par four, par five scoring. Could look at that. And just in general, I think it's going to come down to there's only 78 guys. So you can't play them all. You're going to have to take some stands. And I think it's going to begin right at the top. But before we get into those DFS tiers this week, Kenny, I want to remind everyone we are sponsored by DraftKings. And we've got a very special offer from the people over at DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Week 6 offer every football fan should jump on. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code FGD, throw down $1 on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code FGD this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, NJIN or PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so let's get to these tiers in this 10K range. From my recollection, since I pulled the screen down, we have Rory McIlroy all the way to Dustin Johnson. How are you going about this range? And also, ownership-wise, what do you think are going to be the two least-owned golfers in this range, Tambo?
Least-owned? Definitely
least-owned.
Yeah, definitely Spieth. And then it's tough to say after that. I know the most owned are likely Morikawa and Schauffele. That should be what it is out of the gate. People will talk themselves, obviously, into Dustin Johnson, just his results, what he looked like at the Ryder Cup, the 500, the fact in WGCs, smaller field events, whatever strength, he still just crushes. So I don't know. Maybe JT with the bad putter. I'm not sure. But I also think there could be some narrative around JT. We got bones on the bag. Right, we had that situation happen and get bones back on the bag. They already have a win together, the two of them, when he had to fill in for Jimmy Johnson back in the day and got that W. I think he had back-to-back weeks, like Matt Fitzpatrick almost went after one, and then JT picked up a win the week after. It was something like that for Bones. So cool to see them back together. But I would say Spieth, I'm not sure. Where do you think people lie with Rory? Because I'm thinking about Rory, but what are your thoughts on him up in this range?
I'm hoping he's lower owned. I think Spieth and Rory are going to be the lowest owned, but because of Rory's price, people might jump on him. I'm not 100% sure. I'm definitely thinking about Rory because of that. Because what happened at the Ryder Cup? I mean, it's going to be recency bias, but people think of how poorly he played that whole week. Also, his iron play hasn't been great in the events leading up, but it's been, over a month, almost 2 months. Since he played a stroke play event. So he has time to work on those aspects of the game. When it comes down to it, I mean, if he's, 12%, something like that, I mean, and Spieth is 8%, I would rather go Rory than Spieth. When you're doing the game theory type of play, when you do mass GPPs, just because I think Rory fits the course a little bit better. If you look at the last three times Rory's played Fazio courses, I think it was BMW, Japan for the Olympics, and Wells Fargo. I mean, win fourth, not bad, for Fazio courses. It sort of should fit his narrative of being one of the best drivers in the world. It's just going to come down to his iron game. You're flipping a coin when it comes down to that, because you got to remember, prior to those last three events that he played on tour, he was crushing it. with his irons, gaining five or more strokes in five straight events with his approaches. So it wasn't that long ago where he was on fire with his irons. And I know he gets talked down a lot because of his iron play, especially his wedge play. But he's had some time to regroup, had a little bit of time to get past that Ryder Cup issue. And so I'm beginning to like Rory. And also, speaking of the Ryder Cup, there is that narrative, of course, where, you know, people are saying, do you play guys who have just as their first event after the Ryder Cup? And we saw last week, Scheffler missed the cut, Koepka not play well, and guys like that. Are you looking into that narrative at all? I'm not, but are you looking into that at all?
No, not at all.
Well, here's what I have to say about that narrative. Just real quick, is if you really want to go that narrative, then you're going to have to fade Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Tony Finau. You're going to have to fade all those guys. It could work out,
I don't hate it.
Do you pick and choose? How do you pick and choose which ones you think will be fine after a Ryder Cup and which ones won't? You're just taking wild stabs. So I'm not paying attention to that narrative at all. You're not either, right?
I'm not, but to your point, what you just said, it's, you know, the first six are the five-figure range. So if you just fade the guys up at the top, I don't ever have a problem with that, especially just with some of your lineups. Not saying you have to go all in the strategy, but I talked about it in the past, building in sets where, you know, mostly I think a lot of people this week, Kenny, will go stars and scrubs. And for good reason, when we talk about some of the guys that are even at as low as 6,000 this week, the stone minimum price. So you can make those lineups work with two of these guys in the 10K and above range. So if you just want to go off of it, you almost might be going off it without even knowing it, but realistically, you're just not playing those guys. And I don't think Finau is going to be popular either. I'm not sure, you know, who else you could talk about there, but, Scheffler got one out and maybe he gets to come back and bounce back from it. So it's kind of different with him, but just fading Finau in the top range, I could see it happening. So I don't hate it, but just let me talk real quick here. So if I am going to say something here, it would be that I would play Xander here. I know he's going to be popular, like I said, but just when you're comparing Xander and Morikawa, I love Morikawa. I think he's great, but I kind of like the two guys around him here. And I think it's just there's other talent up here that you can look at for a little bit of leverage, or maybe not so much with Xander as you'd get with JT. But I do like the JT call. I think when you think about him and Morikawa, the conversation is always the same. Two of the best iron players in the world. I know Morikawa beats him, and he's got him covered by this much over the next guy to 30th place. We've talked about the stats in the past with the approach game. But Morikawa can sometimes be off with the putter himself. I know you've got those drivable par fours and things like you mentioned in the past with the major, and you think back to how he's just the best on those. But if the popularity is really going to be there, I think JT, I think Xander, and then I loved everything that you said about Rory. I don't know if people are going to be digging into that, but the Quail Hollow factor, you know, he shot a 70 at Caves Valley and still put up a 22 under. And that's normally something people would say against Rory, is that he can't win tournaments with those scores. Well, he didn't win. You're right. He still didn't win and pull it off at 27 under. But that'll do fine here and play well, I think, at 10-1. And you could even start some lineups with Rory at 10-1 and go down and get yourself some pretty unique lineups, I think.
People say that about Rory, but in his career, Rory's won one PGA Tour event where he shot minus 12, under minus 15. Like, all of his wins are like minus 15 or better. Which usually means a lot of birdies, and there's going to be a lot of birdies here. I'm going to play Colin Morikawa as my cash game cornerstone. I released that yesterday on Twitter just because we're going to be a day late. And, the thing about him is I know he's not the longest guy off the tee, but I think he can compete with bombers in these type of courses just because of how good his iron play is. I mean, he's the best in the world with his iron play. And it looks like that little claw grip, little penciled grip that he's got going on certain types of putts. I think that's helped him with his putting game. And so I'm going to go ahead and use him. He's going to be extremely popular. So I'm going to use him in cash. So I'll be light on him in GPPs. I like JT a lot this week. Again, another great iron player to go out there. Good with it, you know, shorter irons, really, really strong. His approach game is great. It's just going to come down to his putter. You know, maybe having Bones in that bag can help him read the putts just a little better, because you know Bones has that experience when it comes down to reading points. And I know his old caddy was great too, Jimmy Johnson or whatever his name was, the big calf dude. I'm sure he was great, and he could do all that too. But you know, just something about Bones. You know, Bones has majors under his belts.
Mickelson made a lot of putts. Let's just say that. I know he's a great putter in his own right, but I'm certain that Bones was there helping him out a little bit. So maybe it does get JT back on track a little bit there. That'd be nice. Yeah.
And then my last, I'm either going to go Rory or Xander. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to fade one of those guys. I'm leaning towards Rory right now, but it's going to be really hard not clicking Xander's name this week. But I might just do it because I'm already playing such a chalky Colin Morikawa, playing both to chalk up here. I'm sure it obviously can work out because they're both great players. You know what I'm saying? I think when it comes to these type of events where they're so top heavy, ownership's really important. If you can get leverage on a guy like Rory, it might be worth kicking the tires on that, just because, you know, we know that he's a great player, you know, and we'll see, we can see what he can do in a birdie fest like this. We've seen it. He came in fourth the other week at the BMW. So I'm leaning towards Rory. That's my lean right now. But then, of course, every time I've leaned the last couple of weeks, I went back to the original by Wednesday. So we'll see how that goes. Now, let's go down to this 9K range. I'll go ahead. My second cash game cornerstone is going to be Victor Hovland. The guy was just so impressed with Tee to Green last week. He's so impressed with Tee to Green every week. Ball striking. I apologize. Ball striking. Because he lost like 975 strokes with his short game last week, and I don't think that's going to be a problem this week with these large greens that they're going to be going into. So I think he's going to be hitting plenty more greens than he did last week. I think he missed 10 greens last week, and I don't know if he got an up and down on any of them. That's why he had so much trouble. I don't think he has to worry about that unless the wind picks up. So I really do like Hovland as my second cash game cornerstone. Again, great wedge play. I think Morikawa is first in this field from 125 to 150. Hovland is third in this field from 125 to 150 in the last 50 rounds. That's going to be my second cash game cornerstone. Outside of that, I don't really know where else. I like Cam Smith down below. He's been playing well also. Had a nice little respite going out there doing his thing. Again, tons of birdies. He's been a birdie machine, I guess, the last 2-3 months. I think he's second in this field in birdie or better percentage in the last 50 rounds in this field. And you look at the names on this field, that's pretty impressive. So I like Cam down below. And I think I'm going to play Koepka or Finau. I haven't decided which one. I think I'm leaning Koepka at this moment. He got his work in last week. I don't think how much he was into it. He was at the Tyson Wilder, the Tyson Fury fight, which is an unbelievable fight. I hope you guys saw that fight. I mean, it was amazing. I haven't seen a boxing match like that in a long time. I got really hyped for boxing that night, and I actually like watched a couple. They called it the Gotti Ward of heavyweight bouts. So I went ahead and watched the whole Gotti Ward trilogy hammered. What was it, Saturday night afterwards on YouTube, and it was spectacular. It was such a good fight. I couldn't believe Tyson Wilder was able to stay on his feet for that long. But anyways, I'm going sort of off the topic, but that's where Koepka was Saturday night, so you know he wasn't going to do nothing. I almost said the S word right there. I avoided
getting
it.
Getting better.
I avoided it. I think something like this, we've seen Koepka win events like this before. I mean, another desert type of course, the Waste Management, he's won there in Phoenix. I think he got his work in last week, and now he has a field that is worth his attention. So I think I'll probably go that route as of now, but I'm wavering between him and Finau.
Yeah, in this range, I'll start at the bottom and say an S word of my own, Scotty Scheffler, two S words, and say that's who I'm going to go to. I think just, again, you're talking about a four-day event here, all the scoring that we can get, the opportunities. If you look at the stats across the board, again, using Fantasy National, head on over to fantasynational.com/FGD, get yourself 20% off your first payment. You can see it right here, though. Just incredible numbers when it comes to the scoring. The birdies are better gained, the par fives, off the tee, keeps it out there. Everything that we really require. And at this price, when you've got four full days, he can even make a mistake one day and have a bad outing. You know, it used to be Sundays, sometimes it's Saturdays. You never know with Scotty, but when you're getting 4 days, I like to see that. Think he can bounce back here. Love the Hovland call up top. He's actually one of my favorite plays of the week. We'll talk bets later on, but I just think he's a guy. It's kind of in the middle here. There's all these names above him, and you wouldn't consider him maybe in that camp, but he is just that damn good, and he can go out and win in this field. And so that's the thing with Hovland. You look at numbers for him across the board, approach, opportunities gained, birdies, DK scoring, everything, you know, proximity, fairways, off the tee, just everything. He's got it all across the board. So I do like him. And then I guess, a couple guys more in the middle here, but Sungjae, we just saw it with Sammy Burns. I guess he could burn out on the last day like Burns did. He just got the W. But like I said, I don't think we're going to be waiting 50 starts. This could just be that extra boat of confidence that gets him going back out there again, chasing number three while he's hot. And so I do like that. And then Louis did everything but make putts last week. So that's not like him. For the number one putter in the world the previous season, and we talked him up and how good and everything that he's been, he still wasn't horrible, just couldn't do anything with the putter. So I love those numbers to bring across here at 9,300. I think your Cam Smith call could be sneaky, but I'm just playing more guys up here, Kenny, because I'm going to skip a lot when we get to the 7K range and just go down and do the opposite of last week and sort of play some of those 6K guys and jam in a bunch of these guys up at the top here. So I really like Victor Hovland, Sungjae, Louis, and Scheffler. That's the four that I like in this range.
I can get aboard Scheffler, a little bounce back. I think his ownership might be repressed a little bit just because of how he did last week and how much he screwed people over. Although, one thing I think about Sungjae, I think he won the Honda at -5, and he won this at -24. That's pretty impressive.
Don't matter. Yeah, he's so good. It just doesn't matter.
That shows his all-around type of game. To win in those two different type of situations, to be able to grind out something on a difficult course on a -5, and to be able to out birdie everyone on a course like last week, this guy's going to be good. He's got himself a trainer, he's got himself a house, he's got himself a nutritionist.
He's got a trainer.
Nutritionist probably needs a little bit of work because he's still got that Kenny fat face thing going a little bit, trim down a little bit.
Sungjae trim or Sungjae slim? Which one are we getting? That green jacket on, like you called. Mm-hmm.
That is impressive. I don't know if I'm going to be on this week, but it's really impressive what he did. And those two wins are really, really good notches on the belt for my Korean brethren. Let's go to this 8K range. Again, one of my favorites, my third cash game cornerstone is going to be Jason Kokrat. I know he missed a cut last week, but his approach game has been really, really strong. What's really been holding him back is his short game. He's normally a pretty good putter too. And the putter and the short game has really, really been his downfall the last few weeks. But we've seen his iron play get a lot better from the beginning of the playoffs last year to the end. I mean, gradually you saw improvement. And even last week, he missed a cut. He still gained 2.1 strokes with his approaches in the two rounds. Extreme birdie maker, makes a ton of birdies all the time, like normal. He won this event last year, a different course, of course, but familiar with the altitude has to be. Again, last year was another Fazio course. Shadow Creek is another Fazio course. So he's out here doing his thing. So I like Kokrak as my third cash game cornerstone. I like his length a little bit as well. He can pound it out there, hit some wedges. Hopefully he won't miss greens because his short game has been pretty, pretty bad. But I don't think you'll need a good short game here. Again, we went Hovland and his short game is horrible too. So I'm sort of relying on the fact that these guys are going to be hitting a lot of greens. And I think all Kokrak has to do is get that putter a little bit hot, which – he's been normally a pretty good putter in the last year or so. So I like Kokrak as my third cash game cornerstone. Other guys that I do like in this range, I'm going to go a little bit Tyrrell Hatton. Again, another guy that I think could fit this type of course. I know his stats the last 50 rounds, it's going to make him look like crap. But he did finish, I think, runner-up or fourth or something like that at the Dunhill the week after the Ryder Cup. He showed some form there. I think he showed a little bit of form at the Ryder Cup as well. Especially when he was playing with Lowry, usually on the back nine, you could see him come back a little bit. I think he's going to go a little bit unnoticed this week. And I like both the Europeans down there. I mean, Shane's been playing some really good golf, really strong tee to green here in his last 50 rounds. Also been really good on shorter par fours. So I like those two Euros in the middle along with Kokrak. I'll sprinkle some other guys in this 8K range, but you know, those two Euros I like, and they could be a little bit overlooked.
I like a couple other Euros, but I was still so fixated on Sungjae Slim. Can you? He's only 23. Imagine he pulls like the Rory McIlroy and comes out and all of a sudden gets all jacked up. Like Sungjae just out here doing his thing.
Adding like 15 yards on his drive. I mean, he got the nutritionist. He's got the trainer.
I can't even imagine. He's always got the little spare tire kicking around the mid-waist. And yeah, I can't imagine him coming out completely slimmed up. So
what he was talking about with his trainer was, you know, he realized doing this so much, so often, so long that, you know, there's to really be able to do that for an extended amount of time, he has to worry about his health and he has to worry about his physique and stretching and, you know, and that's something that a lot of younger golfers tend to forget sometimes. And it just shows his maturity in my opinion. And it shows that he wants to be great. It shows that he wants to win an Olympic medal and not serve in the military. Also, would be another thing. So yeah,
he's gonna get that. You can mark this down. It wouldn't matter now, but I can tell you he's gonna get that. The other thing is like when he lived on the road for so long, he was probably just eating Popeyes and like trying out all this different shit and just eating whatever, just enough to get him through to the next event because his game is just so good that it doesn't matter. But it might. I don't know. I'm gonna play some of them this week, but. Probably more of a
Popeyes nuggets. Okay. Delicious.
I'd like to try some of those.
Delicious with a sweet heat sauce. Go get that. Delicious. I'm still angry though they discontinued the Cajun rice. So I don't want to slap Popeyes in the face for that. But
I'm just glad you didn't say ketchup. We've been having a debate across Twitter over at Run Pure Sports about ketchup as a condiment and where you would rank it. So
fries. Ketchup and fries is fine.
Okay.
That's usually it though. I don't use ketchup.
You've got a pretty
else.
Good palate, and you're coming from the restaurant industry, and you know your stuff. So it's not that ketchup is bad or I'm against it. I'm just saying almost every time there's something better that you could be dipping in or pouring on.
What ketchup is a kid's condiment. It's so much sugar. So when you're growing up and you're a kid and you want to dip something, you want something sweet. So everyone just likes ketchup. That's just the way it works.
Same with barbecue sauce, yeah. Right? Barbecue sauce is like an offset.
I like mayo for my fries sometimes, just because when I went to Amsterdam, from what I remember from my trip to Amsterdam, outside of like, you know, every single smoke shop I went to and the red light district. The red light district is sort of wild in Amsterdam.
Smoke shows, yes.
Yeah, it's strange. It's funny because in Amsterdam, they don't take prostitution as negatively as they do like in America. It's well more accepted. I mean, they got classes at like the YMCA to teach you how to suck a dick better if you want to like be a prostitute there, you know what I'm saying? So like it's not even like a huge deal, you know? And so like when I went there, you know, it's a little sketch. I have to admit, it's a little sketch. But was it really that funny? You guys are losing it on me right here.
Oh, man, because swearing thing just went out the window. I
didn't say a bad word. I said the D word. It's not swearing, technically. Oh, it's a human body part or a guy's name, right? Anyways, so it's these short little alleyways with the red lights above them, right? You go down, and all the girls in these glass windows, and you, like, knock on the door, and you barter. Like when I went, I was really young. I was like 2001, pre 9/11, and they were still using guilders there, and 100 guilders was like $40 or something like that, right? And it was always like 100 guilders. I was like, I got 80. They take you up to a room. It's a nice like hotel type room with like marble sinks and like cologne and like all this stuff, and then you know you do your thing, and then you know you freshen up. And you bounce. It's great. And no worries. You don't have to worry about, you know, are the cops going to raid us? Are they going to pull a Bob Craft, you know, or something like that? And you don't have to worry about that. But anyways, we're talking about Amsterdam. Oh, the mayo. So in McDonald's in Amsterdam, they don't give you ketchup. They give you this thing called fritas sauce, fry sauce. And their fries, it's just mayo. It's mayo. And it's delicious. It goes well. Anyways, I'm going off tangent. And again, I'm not using bad words, but I'm going off tangent. I forgot what we were talking about.
It's okay. I'm
going
to take it back to my 8K range. I threw you off. I thought when you were talking about dick sucking, you were talking about Richard Fowler. Ricky Fowler, Dick Fowler, he sucks. We know this, but he's in this field again. Somehow, I believe it's a sponsor's exemption he requires to be here now. But I'll go back. I digress. We'll go back to the 8K range. I knew I could get a story out of you at some point. I just did not expect it to be that one. But a couple other Euros here. I started off by saying, and you mentioned a couple there, but I kind of like Casey and Hatton. I think those two are the ones that stand out to me, a little bit more unique there. I think the thing is, Kokrak is going to be extremely popular, and for good reason, but it still is Jason Kokrak. We're not guaranteed here to get just the absolute nut output from him. So I'll say there is some guys around him. Mark Leishman has been playing some pretty
well. I was wavering between Casey and Kokrak for cash. So I like the Casey call.
Yeah, I do like Casey the most here. I think Leishman, Webb would be guys that you could get after a little bit if you want to play just sort of the talent. For once, Kenny, I don't know if you saw this or noticed it, but we had his Harris English, the next Webb Simpson, and now Webb Simpson is priced under Harris English. So we've got to that point now. The flip-flop has happened. Mm-hmm. I don't really trust that. I think I'm definitely going to be in on Webb here at 8,700 quite a bit. So I like Webb. I like Hatton. I like Casey. That's sort of where I'm at in this range. Sprinkle some others. I'm going to take us into the 7K range, let you have that smoke and clear your head a little bit on this just dirty conversation that you're bringing up on this show now, Kenny. Hey, we got to get back on
track. It's only dirty in the United States. You know, it's like the oldest profession in the world. I can go on about this for a whole podcast when it comes to this. There should not be a stigma in the sex worker industry because this, I almost said it again, this stuff has been going on since pre-Jesus, you know what I'm saying? For a minute. I don't understand why it's such a bad thing. Like, why these women are consenting? They need to make money. I don't mind giving them my money. What the problem is? Anyways, go ahead.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. Not much I love though when we talk about the 7K range. I know it's a little bit smaller than we're used to as well. There's only a few. It feels like there's, you know, much less guys in this range than what we're used to, but nothing excites me here. A few down at the bottom. So normally we start at the top and say, let's go down to 7,500. I'm just going to do the whole range because there's not much I like. I really like Sergio Garcia. I think we know Aaron Wise is going to be popular, and for good reason. He's been playing some extremely good golf, but again, look at the guys I can play around him that I feel comfortable with. Sergio Garcia, really like him. Neiman, definitely like him. We're talking bent grass. We're talking go low, 20 under. He can do that. I like him. Not playing HV3, but shout out to HV4. He announced it today that his boy came and we're good. So HV4 is going to be out there someday that we'll get to continue degenning for the rest of our lives with guys that we know. Mav McNealy, we talked about it earlier. He'll probably have some ownership here based on the conversation, the price. But again, when we're getting all these rounds and you're going to get the scoring output from him, I like him on the easier courses, really good off the tee, knows the course, obviously. So I think he makes a lot of sense. And then a couple guys here that probably most won't be on. I know everyone likes Hoffman and Gooch, but I like a couple guys underneath them. Alexander Noren, best surface by far, bent grass, had himself some really good results in the playoffs. I think he could be sneaky, almost kind of like a Cam Smith light, who you mentioned Cam Smith earlier. I think Alexander Noren, Russell Henley, and then even Cam Tringali. It's much less of a price tag of what we're used to seeing for him. Obviously, the field got stronger, but he's been playing a much better game. It's not quite Corey Connors level, but if you think if Corey Connors was in this field at 7K, you'd be interested. So is that something you might be interested in? Cameron Tringali, 7K?
I like Russell Henley a lot. I think I like Russell Henley a lot more. Russell Henley might make it to my cash lineup this week, which is
fifth man. He's been announced.
Wild. Might. But I mean, you think about it, from 100 to 150 yards, he's probably the best in the field. One of the best. Top three. In this field from 100-150, which I think the majority of all approach outs are going to be here. He's also really extremely good at short par threes and short par fours. And I spoke about that in the course preview. And I think those three holes are going to be exceptionally important because people are going to birdie all these other holes. Any pars on those holes are going to be bad. I just like the way he plays on those shorter par threes, par fours. His iron game is so strong. Henley is one of my favorites down here. I like Aaron Wise. He's just been playing too well to ignore. I think personally, I'm not going to go Mav. I think that this is not really the course for him. I think Pat Mayo always says, you know, the shorter, the smaller greens type deal. So I like Wise a lot. I like Henley a lot. Those are probably my two favorites. Others that I might play will be Sergio, will be Neiman. I want to play a lot of these guys down here, but most of them are all going to be down 7,500 and below. I have no problem playing any of those guys, 7,500 and below, except maybe Jason Day.
McNeely's home course is the Summit, though. I do like that.
I don't know. Sure, he can play it well enough. Listen, I like Morikawa not because it's his home course. I like him because everything adds up for him to do well here. That's just like a bonus. Now,
he's literally one of the best golfers in the world, and he's exactly priced, like, that goes hand in hand for sure. Yeah, I'm just saying, I like your Henley call there. I was in on that one, but the Noren thing too. Another note I forgot was T9. Just recently there at the BMW. So I think that's, just something you can go back to again at Caves Valley where he got T9. He's sort of the one that was up there that you might not expect. Another guy we'll talk about later, KH Lee, was up there as well and was playing some good golf. So I think he's interesting. Anybody else in the 7K range for you?
No, but I'm definitely playing KH Lee in a birdie fest.
Take us into the 6K range.
I was off my Korean brethren last week because even though it was a TPC course, he played so poorly there. For his first three tries, missing the cut every single time. But I guess this is the new KH Lee since his win. You see, of course, which one did he win? The Byron, which is like 20-something under. He was top 15 last week, which was, 24 under was the winner. I think these birdie fests suit KH Lee very, very well. And if you include the fact that it's no cut, it makes him eat more I can't think of the word. More likable when it comes to rostering him in DFS. So I do like him, but my final cast game cornerstone, I got to go low. I went, 10-6 or 10-8. I was working out 10-8. I went 10-8, 9-9, and 8-5. So I got to go super low to do it. So my punt plays is going to be Vegas, chalk Vegas, a birdie fest type of course where long hitters will succeed. I will go ahead and take the risk with him, especially with four rounds. I'll go ahead and take Vegas as my final cash game cornerstone. So my cash game cornerstones this week, Colin Morikawa, 10-8, Victor Hovland, 9-9, Jason Kokrak at 85, and Vegas at 63. At least it's 14-5. Again, so I like a lot of those guys from 7,500 to 7K. You'll see a bunch of them. You'll see the other two. You already know one, at least for now. You'll see another one in my cash lineup this week. Other guys do like Cam Davis. Again, another guy when it comes to these birdie type events, I think he does pretty well. You saw him. He had a little pretty nice showing last week. I don't know exactly where he finished, but I know he was pretty up there up until Sunday. So I like him as well. If we're going for guys that, aren't necessarily those two are probably my favorite. I will play a little bit of Keith Mitchell. I'll play a little bit of Carlos Ortiz. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are available down in the 6K range, a lot more normal because it is a no-cut event that we would be able to play. So who do you like in this range?
Yeah, a few of the guys that you said. I didn't get your take on Swafford, though. I thought, we know Vegas is going to be extremely popular down here, but I've heard enough people talk about a Wiley posted earlier today the video of how it was Swafford and then all of the Koreans. And I was just going to say, I didn't get to post it out, but it would be like if I was at American Thanksgiving with you, Kenny, and your family. That's basically where Swafford is just plugged in, bunch of Koreans and Swafford, the white dude. What are your thoughts on Swafford down at the bottom here at 6,000 even? Because it sounds like he's popular. I mean, I had to get the FOMO bet in with everybody else. I think it's like 250-1 or something. You could bet him this week, but what did you do with Swafford down at the bottom here?
Nah, I'm good.
You're good? Nah, You're out on Swafford? I'm trying to see what the number is now. I'll pull it up here just to look at it. But
I like Munoz better. Even with the horrible week last week, just because of how his birdie potential in a no-cut event, I'd rather play Munoz.
Yeah, that was going to be my take. I don't think it'll end up being that popular then. I guess like it's 6,000, but there's a bunch of other guys that people like and that you can play down here. I was just going to say there's too many other guys for me at 275-1. I just looked it up. I was cool with it with the each way top five, but Lucas Glover's the same price. Mackenzie Hughes, maybe a little bit of motivation. Last time Sungjae Im won, we've talked about this in the past, but Hughes was right there and we were right there with his moms. So, we were watching, she was watching, maybe he's motivated by that, but he's really good, putter in general. And then extremely good on bent grass. Cam Davis, best surface is bent grass and he scores. So for 6,400, I'll definitely be playing him. I like Ortiz, who you mentioned. Grillo, under 7K with four full rounds, can definitely play some of him. And then Keegan Bradley. I'm not sure what your thoughts are there, but Keegan pops again for me in all the stats across the board. Going to be a little bit early. He has no form as of late or anything really to look at to see that's good. But at 6,900, I think you can take the chance when you got, you know, top 10 in approach, top 10 opportunities gained, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, hits a lot of fairways, four straight days of scoring. I think there's a possibility there for a guy like him as well. Anyone else that you want to talk about down here?
Probably not. We're definitely not going to talk about Ricky Fowler because that guy sucks. God, he was awful last week. I'm glad I didn't play him. Another guy, maybe a little bit of a Hollywood Hoagie. Iron play's been pretty good. Under 5% owned. I think it's worth a flyer. I like the bottom half of this 66,000 range, probably a little bit more than the top half. Again, which is strange. It's a different type of pricing when you get down there. All right, let's get to these bets, Tamo. I will go ahead and start. I got Morikawa. All these are DraftKings Sportsbook numbers. Go ahead and get on over the DraftKings Sportsbook. Put your deposit down. Listen to the promo we had earlier. Get that dough in. But I'm going to go with Colin Morikawa, 16-1. Victor Hovland, 28-1. Aaron Wise, 60-1. Kokrak, 50-1. And Vegas, 80-1.
80. Yikes. Okay. I got a better number than that, but I like some of your guys there. We've got a couple to say. I got Hovland 28. So I got Rory at 20. I got Hovland at 28. I got Hatton at 40. I got McNealy at 80. Vegas at 140. And Swofford at 275.
Maybe I should have shopped that around instead of just going to play DraftKings Sportsbook. I lied. Just put your money in there. You'll be fine. In the long run, you'll be good. You'll be good.
Yeah. So we're good. That's all I got. Six bets this week. Yeah, six bets.
All right. So you can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. You can find my articles every week on GupsCorner.com. I just finished it, so I'm going to send it right after this podcast. Took a little extra day just to get a little bit more acclimated with the course. Tomorrow I'll have my favorite GPP play in every price range, on my final betting card, any additions to the cash game cornerstones, all that good stuff. Go ahead and check out gupscorner.com. I think you can use promo code GREEN25. Get yourself 25% off a subscription to Gups Corner, which includes a 7-day free trial, risk-free, just to check it out. And this includes all sports, including football, college football, MMA, baseball, and golf.
And you can find me on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo over at Rum Pure Sports. Mentioned earlier, hop on. You can use the promo code DGEN50. Get yourself 50% off your first payment. Check out everything we got going on over there. It's one price, all sports. NFL's hot and heavy right now. And right here on Mayo Media Network, we don't talk about it enough, but make sure to subscribe. Hit the like button. Any comments you guys have for the show, I'm sure there could be plenty after the content that we provided today here. And by that, I mean the non-swearing, as Kenny would say, that he provided. But also on Thursday, I do a football show with JT Hayes. Comes out every Friday morning. It's free if you want to get a taste of the NFL side of things that I'm doing. And other than that, Kenny, that's all I got for this week, my man.
Yeah, you know, Pat and Rick did their show this week. You got Tom and Sky during the Euro. So golf is locked in still, even in this football season. So make sure
Baroff
you get over
this week too with Tom. So our boy Resident Fillin is doing all the shows.
That's the guy. I think I might have to miss one in the next 2 weeks. I forgot to tell you guys. So we might see him again coming up here soon. All right. So this is the one time I will cuss every show. It's just what I have to do. We're in Vegas, baby. Let's win some motherfucking money. Motherfucking money. DGEN Nation.
Money, Jordan Belfort, stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the Molly and I think it'll be my third.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.